the end of society is actually rather difficult to achieve. It is true that modern society is complex and in many ways relies on some rather fragile cornerstones. For example, during the early days of coronavirus, the backlogs in the supply chain showed some of the weaknesses in the just-in-time supply chain management process. However, despite that, and despite the theoretical breaking points, there is an inherent strength in this kind of society as well, and that is, it's effectively in everyone's best interest to keep doing what they're doing. The person who delivers those last mile shipments, getting the product from a supply depot or a local warehouse to your door, is not generally doing this out of a sense of moral uprightness or because he or she feels like they are contributing to society and the greater good. Rather, it is a job, and though it may not be a conscious thought, they are most likely also aware that their own fulfillment of their duties reflects to some degree those of another worker, perhaps, who delivers to their door. And in this way, they have a vested interest in continuing, such that all such workers continue. This is reflected, too, in how the logistics problems worked out in the first days of Brexit. Although it is still ongoing, there was a huge backlog and pileup of trucks delivering goods. They had to wait in line, I think sometimes for days it was. But you know what? They did. The goods got through. Sure, there is some economic fallout. There are some relatively minor social disruptions due to Brexit. The economy took a hit. But things keep churning. And why? Because, again, it is in everyone's best interest to keep doing what they're doing. If we look at societies that have fallen, countries or federations or empires, which in the past have fallen in such a degree that social cohesion was lost, economic cohesion was lost. Most of these took rather extreme conditions. If you look at the economic fallout of post-USSR, this took many decades of extremely stringent economic and personal restrictions and philosophical restrictions. In some degree, that stretched back all the way to the First World War when the czarist tradition was disrupted. So you're talking well over a half century, something more like 3/4 of a century of intentionally almost poor management. And yet Russia still remains an economically viable country. It took some time to get back together, and there are still ramifications of the fall, no doubt. But the actual collapse, such as it is, was only drastic because of the measures of restriction. Likewise, if you think much farther back in history of the fall of the Roman Empire, to which many people point when discussing the potential downfall of current society, well, the fall of Rome had many causes, and to some degree is still debated by historians. But let's look at a few of the factors. One was social unrest, internally and externally. Constant war, to such a degree that it drained significant manpower, and the cost to the economy was huge. They attempted to make up for this with slave labor, which then became their primary source of energy. Not only is this immoral, it is impractical. Add to this the fundamental problem that, despite the many engineering successes of Rome, their math was in relative backwaters, lacking a concept even of zero, and therefore stymied and stagnated. Taken together with internal strife and the attempt to maintain ever-expanding borders with manpower that simply could not sustain it, and you see perhaps why Rome might fall. And yet, it took decades, or depending on when you mark the beginning of the fall, centuries. And it was not, as is often perceived, all at once. Many vestiges of the Roman Empire remain for some time. If we think about it in terms of the knowledge mainly passed on to other parts of the world. This is, in some degree, when the Arab world had its cultural and intellectual burgeoning. Much of the knowledge was built upon some foundations that came from Rome and, indirectly, Greece. So is it possible that the Western world in the modern time could fall in the same way that Rome fell? Well, that's possible. We have our own frailties, though we lack some of the frailties that caused the decay of Rome, and the connections which we maintain through our technology are more robust than might be given credit. It is true, there are underlying fundaments upon which even the internet lies. We see from time to time disruptions when lines are cut, cables fail, cyber attacks are made, and yet we view these as the exception rather than the rule, so much so that we cast doubt on the companies managing these things when this does occur. And the mainstay of the internet, which has its alternate means of connection, allow for communication, for information exchange, for trade and commerce, even when all else seems to fail. Our system of interaction persists despite any changes that are likely to occur. Now, there's no guarantee, truly, of stability. There's no guarantee that there won't be some disruptions. In fact, you can more or less expect that there will be. However, the ability of the system to weather these disruptions is, in a sense, a sign of its strength. We can have technological problems widespread. We can have political disruptions. We can have internal fighting and violence. And yet, we always seem to come back to zero point, to a stable basis. Will it always and forever be this way? Probably not. Always is a very long time. But we should also not underestimate the ability of the system to heal itself, because this self-healing ability comes out of the selfishness, in the wealth of nations sort of sense, of each individual striving to live their life, to make their money, to come home to their family, to keep things going, maybe have a little fun. This is a really strong impetus for everyone to keep the wheels turning, which keeps that little part of society going, and when we all do that, society maintains stability. It's a kind of homeostasis. So as an individual, it always pays to be cautious. As a member of society, it always pays to keep an eye on how things are progressing. Certainly bad things can happen without society falling down around us, and we still can be concerned about those things. They can still do ill to us, to our society, and we should absolutely be proactive about these things. But none of this means that at any given point in time, we are on the brink of peril. Nor should we allow histrionics to dictate our choices, our decisions, or our conversations. Society is strong, not so much because we are strong, but because we act out of self-interest, mutual self-interest. And over the course of many centuries, we have built a system tier upon tier upon tier, which includes within it, inherently, intrinsically, this kind of selfish strength. It's not immutable, but it is adaptable and therefore surprisingly strong.